This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler, hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, come gather around the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. One of the most peculiar phenomena I've ever delved into on this program has to do with something that has been dubbed the Mandela Effect, a curious instances in which many of us are certain we remember something a particular way, but it turns out we are incorrect. The name of the theory comes from many people feeling certain they could remember Nelson Mandela dying while he was still in prison back in the 1980s, and contrary to what many thought, Mandela's actual death was December the 5th, 2013, despite some people claiming to remember seeing clips of his funeral on TV. But it's not just limited to Mandela's death. There are enough examples of people swearing they remember historical events, logos, commercial jingles, even the spelling of popular children's television shows one way, when it turned out to be something completely different. And there are a number of theories as to why this is happening. Some call it simple misremembering, false memories. Others suggest it could be a parallel universe spilling into our own. Author Roy Horn has filled a book with examples of what is now called the Mandela Effect, and he'll join us in a few moments. There it is there, the Mandela Effect Ascension. A look ahead at the second hour of tonight's transmission. Canada's Edgar Casey, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, will join us once again. He wears many hats, of course: remote viewer, medical intuitive, clairvoyant, energy healer. He's been called the last of the sleeping prophets, like the great Edgar Casey. Douglas utilizes a method of deep trance meditation, which allows him to access the Akashic Field, and he's written about this previously in his book, Conversations with the Akashic Field. Let me hold that up for our YouTube viewers. I wrote the foreword. You might want to check that out at some point. Anyway, Douglas is also, of course, a longtime contributor to this program, dating back, oh my gosh, to my days at another radio station here in Toronto back in the late 90s. We actually knew each other previous to that when I was a talk show producer, and I booked Douglas on many shows. So he'll be along. We'll talk, no doubt, about earth changes and geopolitics, North Korea, Iran, what's in store. Just the world, let's face it, is just there's so much tumult going on right now. And we'll open up the phone lines and take your calls with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Right now, just ahead of Roy Horn and the Mandela Effect, let me introduce the boys in the band. He's back. on the Gibson Flying V guitar. Ian Robertson, Ian had a bout with the flu, and he had all four wisdom teeth extracted. It's great to have you with us again, Ian. Thank you. You were missed. On the Rickenbacker bass guitar, and occasionally the theremin, the mysterious, Elbert Wenzel. And on the Hammond B3, Ryan White. Welcome all, gentlemen. And just a reminder that we have set a goal of 10,000 subscribers for the Conspiracy Show YouTube channel. And we are sitting on, what is it? We're around, is it 6,000, Ryan?
Just shy, yeah.
We're just shy of 6,000? Come on, folks. Let's hit that sub button and let's get that up to the 10,000 mark. All right. Very quickly, remote viewers out there listening, here's your chance to strut your stuff. It's time for our weekly remote viewing experiment. What's in the box? Where you attempt to transcend time and space and identify the object hidden from view in the cigar box here in studio. And for the skilled remote viewer who correctly identifies the mystery object, a copy of Volume 2 of my Strange Planet CD will be mailed out to you. Okay, here are your coordinates as per usual. The object is, again, hidden inside the cigar box to my left here in studio at Zoomerplex, 70 Jefferson Avenue in the Liberty neighborhood of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. All right, away you go. You must tweet your answers to me at Richard Serrett, SYRETT. Use the hashtag TCS remote. Good luck to you all. All right. Professional musician and truth seeker Roy Horn has been practicing Toltec dreaming for over four decades. The expansion of his consciousness has been the main focus of his life. The Mandela effect unhinged him from space and time, and the resulting experiences are the focal point of his writings. Roy, welcome aboard the Conspiracy Show. How are you?
Doing great, Richard. Is that, y'all have that B3 in the studio with you?
It is not. I know you're a musician. I refer to them as the boys in the band, but I think only, as far as I know, only young Ian is the accomplished musician. Albert, you don't play a musician, do you, or an instrument, do you? And how about you, young Ryan? Do you play an instrument?
A little bit of piano here and there.
Ah, there you go. All right. So there is no Hammond B3 in studio.
I was going to say that's a dedication to sound to haul that around.
When did the Mandela effect? Because this is a recent phenomena, at least as it exists sort of online and as when it went viral. It goes back to about this, 2010, Fiona Bloom blogged it. But did you know, was this gnawing at you before 2010?
That's a good question. And when I look back on years past, I catch myself wondering. There's so many things that got so odd and everything. But I really had not heard of it until I became aware of it, let's say, March of 2016.
Ah, okay.
But I think at least a year and a half before that, my life had gotten very strange. And I think I was probably going through this and didn't know it.
It's interesting that the name, the Mandela effect, stuck, where it could have been called the Berenstain Bear effect. It could have been called the Kit Kat effect. It could have been called the Oscar Mayer effect. And we'll talk about all of those examples. What is it about – for you, was the Mandela funeral also kind of a landmark event?
Well, not really. I mean, I remember Mandela dying in prison in the 80s. And then, in what was it, 2013?
Right.
And he died. And I watched the funeral on television, and it never even dawned on me. I mean, I really did not connect the dots. I didn't even sit there and think to myself, well, wait a minute. I really did not. And it wasn't until this I saw some examples of this and saw that they were calling it the Mandela effect. And then I started reading it, and I remembered that long ago that I did remember Mandela dying in prison. But that particular incident or him, it wasn't that big of a landmark thing for me. There are some that are just, bizarre. That's bizarre enough right there. Well, Hugh Hefner just dying, I remember him dying about 18 months ago.
Oh, really?
Also. Oh, yeah.
Interesting, interesting. And what do you say to people who dismiss this as merely misremembering, false memory? For example, and here's one that when we talk about the death of Nelson Mandela and some people remembering that it happened in the 1980s, people will bring up the name of Stephen Biko, who was another sort of victim of apartheid South Africa. He was, in fact, sort of memorialized in song by Peter Gabriel, from former frontman of Genesis, and I think there was actually even a movie made about Stephen Biko. So this is they'll throw that up and suggest what you're remembering was the death of Stephen Biko in the 1980s, not Nelson Mandela. How do you respond to that?
Well, it depends on how far along you are in this process, because at first you defend yourself a lot, and you try to find corroborating evidence, or even you start picking people's brains because you really want them to remember the way that you're remembering, and you would question this for sure. If it wasn't that there were millions and millions of people that have the alternate memories that, like I have, although there are millions and millions that have memories that don't match mine, but don't match this either. It's quite a mismatch. But as far as memory, it's like some things. You could say this or a couple of things I could probably misremember, but not all of this. And specific events that I know, such as the Kennedy assassination. There are only four people in the limousine in all of my memory. You know, now there's six, but that's a point that you just don't. After all these years and seeing that Zapruder film for so many times and all about it, just no way that you would misremember.
Right. Let me just ask you
in the middle of that car.
Yeah, just let me ask you about that, because you don't, as a child, and you don't remember Governor Connally and his wife Nellie Connally, the First Lady of Texas, being in that middle row of seats.
No.
You don't. Okay.
There was a driver and Connally in the front seat, and then the back seat. And there was only two seater.
Ah,
the Kennedys were in the back.
Oh, I see.
What's so different about that, Richard, is that you can go online and find this right now. But that was 1963, and right after that, and probably early 64, Look magazine on the inside of their magazine, they did an article on the Henry Ford Museum. And the picture that they chose from that museum was the limousine that Henry Ford, that the Ford Company built, Lincoln Continental, that they built.
That's
for,
right. Yeah.
That, and it's an exact mock-up. It's a replica of that car in the Henry Ford Museum, and the picture's in there. Look magazine, and it's only a two-seater.
There you
no
go.
Bird seat.
Roy, got to step away for a quick timeout. We'll come back.
Yeah.
The Mandela Effect Ascension. Roy Horn. Right here on The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett. Stay with us.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Quick programming note, next week on this transmission, blockbuster author, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. He's got a new one out. It's called Paradigm, and he will be with us for the full 2 hours, which is a big deal because he is in such high demand. This is a guy that was asked several years ago to speak at the presidential prayer breakfast during, I believe it was President Obama's second term. The beginning of his second term. And Jonathan's a good friend and a good friend of the program. And so for him to spend the full 2 hours with us is a big deal, and we're happy to have him. Right now, Roy Horn stays with us. We are talking about the Mandela Effect. Ascension is the book, The Mandela Effect Ascension. Let's just go through I hate to call it a laundry list, but it's a long one, and we won't get to all of them, obviously. But, I mean, there are people in my live chat on YouTube right now who are, you know, going back and forth about the Berenstain Bears. And I have, you know, young children. We watched the Berenstain Bears. I don't remember it being the Berenstain Bears, but I always just dismissed that as me misremembering. But again, if it was just an isolated case of me and a few other people, but there are legions of people who remember the Berenstain Bears, and it is not the Berenstain Bears, it's the Berenstain Bears. Roy, if this is real, wouldn't someone have it on tape? Is there a VHS copy out there somewhere with the Berenstain Bears on it instead of the Berenstain Bears?
Well, yes, there are. That called residuals, we call it residual evidence, but and it shows up all the time. There's somebody will find it started off by, I think, a lot of people searching old like TV Guide or and to see how it was spelled, and you can find so much evidence that couldn't be they couldn't have just misspelled that show or whatever, because there was a television show that by that name. But the a lot of people can have evidence that they take pictures of a 8-track tape or something. Not an 8-track, but a VHS.
Right.
Yes. You know, with the cover still on it, with the spelling the way that you and I remember it, the spelling today.
There's a name for this. You call it residuals.
Yeah, residual evidence. And I don't know who started that, but it's important, because if things were exactly the way they are now, there would not be this digital evidence. And basically, that's what it is. Somebody has taken a picture or something. But, you know, like the last time that we had talked, I talked about J.C. Penney.
Yes.
And P-E-N-N-Y. It's always been my reality. Now it's P-E-N-N-E-Y. But you can search Google Ads or Google, and you can look at newspaper ads from back in the 60s, and you'll find it, you know, spelled the way P-E-N-N-Y. You'll find it spelt the other way too, but you'll find a whole bunch of it spelt the way that I remember it.
And this is close to home.
This
is close to home for you, because was it your sister that worked for JCPenney?
Yeah, our very first job, and I remember that quite well. It, you know, it was kind of a big deal for her, because it was our first job, and I remember going and seeing where she worked and stuff like that. It was kind of a big deal for her at a very, very young age. But I remember how it was spelled.
The other one, now, you see, I'm not with you or the others on Mandela, because I don't remember him dying in the 1980s. I remember, again, Stephen Biko.
Yeah.
But here's the one that I am with you on, and that is Oscar Mayer. I mean, I grew up watching I Wish I Was an Oscar Mayer Wiener, and I remember my wiener has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My hot dog or my wiener has a last name. It's M-E-Y-E-R, not M-A-Y-E-R, but that is how it is spelled today.
Right.
So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Well, hey, let me tell you this. Since the last time that we talked, another one's popped up, and I just learned about this one last week, so I don't really know how long it's been around, because I don't really search for these things anymore. But I do remember Mike Tyson biting the top right ear off of Evander Holyfield. That was a big deal.
Sure.
Hell, he bit that ear off, spit it on the mat, and they called the fight. But if you look at it now, it didn't happen that way. Now in this reality, or whatever you want to call it, Tyson bites Holyfield on the right ear. They stop the fight, no blood or nothing. They take 2 points away from Tyson. This whole thing took about 6 or 7 minutes. The referee was really mad. It took 2 points away from Tyson, which is a big deal in a championship fight.
Right.
They started the fight again, and Tyson bit him on the left ear, and they called the fight. no blood, no missing parts. And that's not the way I remember that.
No, I remember blood. I certainly remember blood. Now, when you say this has just popped up, what do you mean? You've recently seen the fight on YouTube, or how did it pop up?
I'll see somebody talking about it on YouTube or Facebook. There's one Facebook page or whatever I go to ever so often, because that's all they do is just state people talk about the new Mandela changes or whatever. And so I saw this one last week. I don't go to the Facebook thing that often, but so it may have been a while that it's been up there, but I saw it last week.
The other one I wanted to mention to you was Ford, the Ford Motor Company, and the logo of Ford, which apparently has never changed ever in the history of Ford.
Not if you look at their history. They say it's been that way since 1912.
Right.
But I don't remember. I remember that in the capital F, the cross part of the F being a kind of not a square thing, but almost a little banner looking. But now it's just straight across, but on the inside of it, it's got a little curly Q like a pig's tail.
Right.
I don't know. That is not from my reality. I grew up around Fords, worked on Fords. My dad owned Fords. I bought Fords. It just blows my mind that, you know, when you see that, you go, no, that's not right. And so, you know, if you go online, you see that it's always been that way. But I pointed it out to a Ford dealer, and it surprised him, and he was a dealer.
Now, is there any residual evidence of the Ford logo the way you remember it? Do you have for example, a photo of you in front of one of your Ford vehicles with the old logo?
No, I do not. The people that the residual on the Ford that I've seen, you know, besides tattoos, we won't count those. But like I've seen it done the correct way, not on a vehicle, but it would be in an item that maybe some kind of a salesman would carry it around or something, instead of a real vehicle, is on a model or something like that.
When you say the correct way, you mean the F sans serif, as we say, without the curly Q.
Right. I say to me, that's still the correct way.
That's the correct way. Okay, just so we define our terms here.
I'm not buying into any of this. So when I say real, that's what it
to me. Right.
Although there is no reality anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, that's interesting. There is no reality, because you talk about how you became unhinged. Walk us through, how did that happen for you?
Well, for 40-something years, to make it very quick, I have had a unbending intent on personal freedom through the raising of consciousness. I don't know why. I don't know why it's bent that way. A lot of things that happened to me back in the early 70s with psychotropic drugs or the plants or whatever. But I've just always been bent that way. And I got into this, is basically Toltec dreaming. That's how I started. But you kind of have to forge your own way. But anyway, I was hung up. And when I say hung up, I was hung up on stopping the world, because the reality that we know, what we're operating in right now, is just formed by the collective consciousness of the planet, but more specifically by your internal dialogue. And if you can control the internal dialogue, which you learn through dreaming techniques, then if you can shut your internal dialogue off without going to sleep, you can stop the world. You can see this world will melt away, and you can see the real energetic world. Well, in order to do something with that, instead of just viewing it in order to manipulate it or maneuver in it, you have to eliminate your belief system that is holding you grounded here. And part of the techniques that I was having trouble with in getting rid of this belief system was erasing personal history and recapitulation. And recapitulation is kind of like releasing karma, I guess you would say, but I guess it's like reliving moments, but actually reliving them and letting it go. Mm. And it's kind of a difficult thing to do, but more harder than that is erasing personal history. How do you do that when everybody around you have a personal history with, and that very vibration of those thoughts holds you in place?
It sounds like you're talking about the Matrix, that we are living in a digital simulation. Is that?
It's very close. But mm-hmm. what the Mandela effect did, but when I figured out that this is not where I'm from or whatever, it released all of my past, I guess. It did all that I've been trying to do. It did it for me because I have no personal history here. Even though everybody that wants around them, they know me forever. This is not the reality or whatever. But it was just enough, I guess, with what I'd been doing for 40-something years to stop the world and allow me to have several visions of the true nature of reality and the energetic world that we actually live in.
So at this point, it's almost as if you and legions of others have had this aha moment where they have caught who's ever sort of behind this. We've caught them in their own act. We've caught a glitch here. Are you at all interested in trying to dig up more of this residual evidence, or are you beyond that at this point?
Oh, I'm beyond that. What has happened, Richard, is we're in a cycle. I mean, there's all kinds of cycles, but we're at a very a wonderful place to be because we're in a period in which the Toltecs and the people before the Toltecs, the Miacas, they had these sons.
We should just, sorry for the interruption, Rory. We should point out the Toltecs were a civilization that lived in Central South America well before the Mayans and the Aztecs.
That's correct. And they had the sun cycles pretty well nailed down. And so what we're coming into is a new sun. And I'm talking of consciousness. And that started around 2000, be totally in place 2020. But during that time, the old sun, the old consciousness dies away. And in that period of time is much, much turmoil, wars and just crazy weather and people just being nuts. And that's the period of time that we're in right now. And so automatically the world at this time, the collective consciousness starts waking up when these sun cycles happen and the control matrix falls away. So that's what's happening. The people that are experiencing the Mandela effect, the veil, so to speak, the matrix is falling away. What's difficult is that the powers that be and who controls them have known about this for eons and have prepared for this period of time. And we are in a period of time where the choice has to be made. You're going to be human and evolve into the human world, or you're going to be transhuman and evolve to the human computer world.
Wow. Why would the Matrix sort of hang on? I know it's not an exact analogy, but let's work with that because I think in terms of pop culture, that makes sense to a lot of people. Why would it all sort of rest on things, common pop culture references like Oscar Mayer Wiener or the Berenstain Bears or the Ford Motor Company logo? Why would it be something like that that grabs our, that whoever they are, that are sort of downloading this reality, why would they slip up on those sorts of things?
Well, I don't know that they're slipping up. You see, I think that because of what is naturally happening, and as far as reality changing before our very eyes, I think that. They're so far ahead of what we can even dream that they are. And I do believe that which we can get into later how they're doing it, but that what they're doing is a way of to keep people focused on that instead of the actual spiritual consciousness change that is supposed to be happening right now.
Ah, I gotcha. All right, listen, we'll step away again for a moment and come back, discuss further the Mandela Effect Ascension with Roy Horn. The results of our weekly remote viewing experiment is just moments away as well. What's in the box? Final reminder. Send your answers to me at Richard Serrett, S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T. Use the hashtag TCS remote, TCS, as in The Conspiracy Show.
Poking holes in the darkness. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To see the light, call Richard now at 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Different views make great conversation. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard live, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Welcome back. Roy Horn is here. We are talking about the Mandela Effect. His book is called The Mandela Effect Ascension. We'll get back to that conversation momentarily. Just a reminder, coming up in hour two, the man with X-ray eyes, Canada's Edgar Casey, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell will be here. This is not his latest, but this is a previous book called Conversations with the Akashic Field. You may want to check that out. You can purchase that through Douglas's website, douglasjamescottrell.com. And a funny thing, I wrote the foreword. There you go. All right, it is time for our results for our weekly remote viewing experiment, What's in the Box. Let's go quickly, as per usual, around the horn. And Albert, you're a little, or rather Ian, I know you may be a little rusty. You've been you've been sick and so forth, but what do you think is in the box?
As soon as you brought it up at the beginning of the show today, I saw keys.
Keys.
Yeah, a set of keys.
All right. And Albert?
I think you slightly gave it away earlier when we were at the pub. We were talking about the Harvey Weinstein scandal. So I got a ping from the universe that it would be like an Academy Award statue.
Interesting. I think we did that one already. We did the Academy
it's
Award.
A recurring, recurring
it's a
object.
All right. Okay. And Ryan?
I only saw salt like the ocean.
Salt, like the ocean.
Like a seashell or something.
All right. And what are our friends in the online saying?
Yeah, some interesting sites. A couple people have guessed a compass. Billy's guessed a compass. Alien Babel sees a book. Daniel, a screwdriver. Drew, something Egyptian. Ed sees a cigar. YY sees pink scissors or a green cube. Mojo thinks there's a frog. Dar, a baseball. Scott, an orange. Michael, an orange as well, a plastic toy. Ant, the DVD. Kyle, another compass. And Clancy sees a candle.
All right. I have to say, Albert, you're close. It's not an Academy Award, but I noticed when I was monitoring the live chat on the YouTube channel that someone was sort of riffing on the whole Mandela effect. And mentioned something about, you know, does Roy remember or does anyone remember an alternate universe when the Leafs won the Stanley Cup or something to that effect? And here we are, the Stanley Cup with the Toronto Maple Leaf insignia on it. So there you go. So Albert, kind of in the ballpark, not an Academy Award, but it is, in fact, a Stanley Cup. Can we see that on the YouTube? There we go. All right. Now, I'm not sure what that was in the YouTube channel, but it was not an official... an official guest, so, but he was on to something, obviously. All right. Again, just a reminder, Douglas Cottrell coming up in the second hour. Let's get back to our conversation just for a few moments. This is a short segment. Roy Horn stays with us, the Mandela Effect. Just give us a couple of others here that are mentioned in the book. You mentioned JCPenney. We mentioned Ford, Oscar Mayer. We mentioned the Berenstain Bears, of course. Is there another one? You mentioned the presidential limousine, the Kennedy limousine. There were only, you remember, four people in the limousine, which would be the president, the first lady, Governor Connally, and the limo driver. Any others, Roy, that leap immediately to mind?
Well, besides just logos and stuff, world geography, the whole geography is totally different.
Ah, yes. I remember this now. Yeah.
South America is 1,500 miles too far east. And when you pull that up like that, it makes Panama kind of tilt to the east, and it kind of and it pulled Mexico. And what I'm getting at is now Cuba was not that close to the Yucatan, and now it's as close to the Yucatan as it is to Key West or Miami or wherever.
And you're remembering what your public school days studying an atlas or a globe, or what do you what's your reference point?
Yeah, you know what I've always known just from from geography what has been put in front of me, and incidentally I have no way of knowing. You know, I don't I can't map out the world, so I'm just showing what they see now. But here is the field, like I have a globe. Rather large globe that I've had for many years, and it changed. The my personal own globe is different. I remember, like Chile, being north and south lining up with Texas, and now it's way, way far east. Australia used to be down under. You couldn't get there from here. it was a hard place to get to. But now it's you can hit Indonesia with a rock from Australia, which changes everything because it changed history in this in where we are now. And I'll tell you why. The Midway Island was an island halfway between Hawaii and Guam, very important in World War II.
Sure, sure.
Well, in this reality, Midway is part of the Hawaiian chain. Well, if that happened, in the old reality that I knew, when MacArthur left the Philippines, he went to Midway. And there wouldn't be no need for Midway if Australia was as close to Indonesia as it is in the present day. And that's exactly what happened.
Right, right.
According now, MacArthur did not go to Midway. MacArthur went to Australia. And they could do all their bombing runs from Australia. They didn't need to have that Midway, you know, halfway between Hawaii and Guam. But Midway being part of the Hawaiian chain just blew my mind. And I thought, well, that what does that do to history? And that's when I looked it up, and sure enough,
you state that you in the dedication to your book that you wrote this for your two sons because you wanted to explain to them what was going on. What do your two sons think of what Dad is on about these days?
Well, you know, they're cool boys. They're 30 years old, twins, and they've, you know, they've seen, they know that they have an unusual father. I've never been in a society I would have, you know, I was a little league baseball coach and the football coach and very active in church.
That was before peyote.
No. This was much after.
Oh, okay.
But I did actually, peyote was back in the early 70s.
Ah, okay.
And then never again, you know, for about an 18-month period, but doing it the correct way, not
right,
on
right,
the
joyride. No, I wasn't being glib. I just, but that was.
Oh, I understand. But my boys, and they know all about all of that, too, but they understand that that I'm a different person than what the society and everybody sees.
All right, we'll take another time out, Roy. We'll come back and continue to discuss the Mandela Effect. And we'll also tell you how to get a copy of the book, meascension.com, the website. Back with more of my conversation with Roy Horn. Stay with us.
Question everything. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. On Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Shaking the world and seeing what falls. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Roy Horn stays with us. The Mandela Effect Ascension, and the website is meascension.com. Meascension.com. We've linked up to Roy's website at our Conspiracy Show website. Just click on Roy's name, and that'll take you right there. I'm looking again at the live chat on YouTube, and someone mentioned, it just jumped out at me, the tank man at Tiananmen Square. So what's the misremembering there? This was this brave individual that was staring down a tank in Tiananmen Square during that brief uprising, which I believe was that 1989? Something like that. What's the misremembering there, Roy?
Well, I believe, and I keep saying this reality, that he does not die. And in my former reality, he does not die either. But there are a lot of people in which they say that he was run over. I believe I'm correct in saying here he was not.
Right? No, he was not. He was not. I remember someone grabbing him and dragging him off.
Right. I remember him not dying also. See, that's what's strange. There'll be somebody who will have exact memories that I have on all the logos and the Kennedy and everything. But then they'll remember him dying, and I will not.
Right.
And so it's like it's very bizarre. But it's really what it comes down to is frequency. We live in an electromagnetic environment, and it's all frequency. And this thing that we're in right now is just a hijack of collective consciousness by artificial intelligence that they've had probably since the 50s. And the hijack part of it is the Mandela affected. And that's basically is what it is. The multiverse is real. And it's very hard to fathom and explain, but it is real, and they know that. And this is just basically a little trap along the way, I guess you would say, to keep people from evolving the way they should be at this time.
Right. It's almost they're dropping these little clues, hoping someone will take notice, and then we're all left chasing our tails, totally wrapped up in it,
right.
The same way we were with the Warren Report in 64, the same way we're wrapped
right.
up in trying to figure out what brought down the Twin Towers. Meanwhile, we're missing the big picture.
Well, let me ask you this, Richard.
Yes.
How many buildings do you remember falling that day, 9/11?
I remember three.
I do too, but you need to go look at that now. All of them did. 1 through 7 now in this reality collapsed. And so I remember three, you know, 1 and 2, and then miraculously
building seven
by itself.
Right.
But not in this reality. You should go look now. You see, that's what's so different, because the Mandela effect, and everybody thinks that it's set in stone, but it's not. It keeps changing. I've seen the Flintstone, F-L-I-N-T, change to Flynn Stone without the T, back and forth 4 or 5 times now.
Really?
And, yes, and so...
Is there residual evidence of that? Do we have an old Hanna-Barbera version without the T?
Oh, there's a bunch of it, but because it's flipped back and forth so many times, I would imagine there's a lot of residual evidence for that. But because this is not like a solid reality that has its own parameters or rules like the one that we came from, this one's ever-changing.
Right.
Because... all of the Mandela effect been going on, but I guarantee you 3 months ago, if you asked somebody if Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear, they'd say yes, and I would too. But that same person who was not affected by the Mandela effect will question it now. If you tell them that, they more than likely will think that they've just misremembered the
right.
Tyson fight.
And, of course, Roy, what we are doing now is we are falling into the trap. We are doing exactly what they
right.
want us to do.
Right.
I wanted to ask you though about the Hopi Indians and how does this line up with Hopi prophecy, if at all? Because you mention a Hopi elder on the back of the book of the Mandela Effect Ascension. What does it have to do with the Hopi prophecies?
The Hopi, there's a prophecy rock, thousands of years old, and it nails this totally. You can pull it up and look at it. but it's a it shows stick figures, and one of them is a great spirit, and one and then there's a cube, very interesting. You can get talking about cubes forever, but two lines out of the top, one out of the top of the cube, one out of the bottom. One out of the bottom's natural man. One out of the top is the lost, which is what we are to them. And at the very end is a man with two heads. They call it the man with two hearts. And it looks like a bolt of lightning going up in the sky, which they say is the unknown. But right there, that is the Mandela effect. Right there is a straight line down to the path which natural man should be living. And that where that line comes down is right before the third and last great earth shaking, which is coming up. And the Hopi are guardians of humanity. They actually are. It's something that's just tremendous. And their prophecies come from within and instead of from influence from outside. They're very, very spiritual people.
I want to come back to the Toltec dreaming. How does this Toltec dreaming work, and then how did you learn how to do it?
Well, there's the same people that I learned that for 18 months that I did these certain peyote experiences, and I was being instructed during those experiences. But anyway, it's from them that I learned the dreaming techniques. And what the deal is, we live in a duality, but we ignore one of the biggest parts of it, which is our nighttime dreaming. During our waking hours is just our daytime dream, but it's still a dream. At night, during our nighttime dream, is the just as real as our daytime reality. The dreaming techniques are more than just lucid dreaming, which is just waking up in your dream. And you hear people all the time say, you know, oh, lucid dreaming, you can go where you want to go and you can fly. But that doesn't really have anything to do with anything. Waking up within your dream, lucid dreaming is only part of it. Creating an energetic body that you can utilize in your dreams is the second part of our lives. There's this part that we're conducting now, and then there's that part. And then merging the two is where intuitive knowledge comes from. You no longer, you don't read books, or I can't study anymore. Because I don't need any of that. I don't need mankind's interpretation of anything anymore. I just rely on intuitive knowledge.
But the goal then is if you are able to wake up in your nighttime dream, then the key is, I guess, for all of us, the ultimate goal is to be able to wake up in our daytime dream, which we mistake for reality.
Oh, there you go. You just nailed it. Ding dong. That's it.
Ding dong, that's
it. And what's keeping you from that is the belief system that's been instilled in you and that you hold on to. You accept that the world's round because everybody told you it's round, but you don't know. You have no way of knowing. You just accept that fact. Well, you got to, and very quickly, I explain it this way. There's the truth, and it's a light. And if that light comes through your living room glass and hits your hardwood floor, there you go. But if it comes through stained glass and hits the floor, there's all different kinds of colors and patterns. That's your filter in your brain. The truth coming to you can't get to your heart because of your belief system. So you just have to kick out all those stained glass. You have to get rid of all that belief system until the truth is more than the stained glass. And then your heart, intuitive knowledge comes through your heart. It is not knowledge from man. It is nothing that man can teach you. And that knowledge, by the way, has come to you for a long time, but you might not know how to manifest it in this reality, and that's what the dream state is for. The dream state helps you manifest that intuitive knowledge in this dream state. The Tanal and the novel. We're in the tunnel right now, but when I go to sleep, I'll be in the novel.
Fascinating. And I'm so glad that we finally were able to address this issue on the program. We've sort of talked around it for years, and finally we were able to dedicate an entire hour. Thank you so much for this, Roy. How do people get a hold of the Mandela Effect Ascension?
Well, the website is M-E, like Mandela Effect, Ascension.com. But it's also, you know, wherever books are sold or whatever. But I think that's your best deal. If you do it there, you can get it for the best price.
All right. I seem to remember the Mandela Effect being spelt with an A, but that could just be me. I'm kidding, of course. All right. Again, thank
you. No, it's the effect that affects you.
That's right.
Okay. Roy, Richard, thank you. Always been a joy. Yeah.
A pleasure, Roy. Thank you so much.
Right. All right.
All right. Bye-bye. When we come back, Douglas James Cottrell, conversations with the Akashic Field and more, plus your phone calls, geopolitics, earth changes, you name it. That's all in the future with Canada's Edgar Casey. Stay right here.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Live from Toronto, Canada, Earth, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
Well, thanks for inviting me into your home, your long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' basement, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. Hello to all of you listening in on our flagship station, Zoomer Radio, AM 740, 96.7 FM here in Toronto. Howdy to all of you listening in on one of our affiliate stations across North America, the podcast, of course. For the podcast, incidentally, please check out TalkZone.com. Again, for the podcast, go to TalkZone.com. And, of course, we have to say hi to everyone watching the radio. Yes, I said watching the radio on our YouTube channel, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Please take a moment and hit the sub button. We're sitting at around 6,000 subscriptions. We really want to get up to 10,000 by the end of the year, and time is slipping away quickly. A special how-do to all of our faithful supporters, of course, in the live YouTube chat room. However and wherever you are listening, watching, I bid thee the warmest of welcomes, and I thank you for your fine company. Again, a programming note: next week on this transmission for the entire 2 hours, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn will be here to discuss his new blockbuster, Paradigm. Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. He's best known as the last of the sleeping prophets. His quantum meditation style is often compared to a phenomenon demonstrated by the likes of Edgar Casey, Ross Peterson, and Paul Solomon. Douglas demonstrates many abilities studied by noetic sciences, including clairvoyance, telepathy, energy healing, remote viewing, predictions, and prophecies. He is one of the select few able to demonstrate all of these abilities, and even fewer who are considered a reliable information source. He is the author of Secrets of Life, The New Earth, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Gems of Wisdom, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and Avatar, The Secret Life of Jesus Christ. Douglas, welcome back. Oh, we just lost Douglas. All right, we're going to try and get him back. Maybe he needed a reminder that although he's joining us on the Hangout on Air for our YouTube stream, he needs to be on the phone at the same time. Okay. We will get him back in a moment. All right. So let me just take a moment to remind you again, Conversations with the Akashic Field. I think the last time we had Douglas on, that's what we talked about, and we'll touch on that. But we'll also open up the phone lines, and we'll talk geopolitics, earth changes, of course, what's, you know, staring us in the face, what's coming at us like a freight train. And why don't I give you those numbers now? 416-360-0740. That's the Greater Toronto Area. Again, 416-360-0740. And toll free from just about anywhere, 1-866-740-4740. Again, toll free just about anywhere, 866-740-4740. And we will take calls for Douglas Cottrell. Ian, any luck raising Douglas again?
Not yet.
No.
It goes straight to voicemail. One sec.
That's odd. All right. Something's awry in the Akashic field, my friends. We have lost the sleeping prophet, the man with X-ray eyes, Douglas Cottrell. All right. Ian is working diligently on the other side trying to get him. If you're listening to us, Douglas, we're calling you, and the messages were going right to voicemail. All right. Hey, we didn't have a winner for this week's remote viewing experiment. Let me just, for those of you who missed it, this was our hidden object in the cigar box. It's a Stanley Cup. Oh, I'm going to show that one up there. Okay, there it is, that camera. And here's what's weird. In the live chat on YouTube, someone was mentioning the Toronto Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup. And lo and behold, that's our object. All right, we'll try again next week for another chance to win perhaps a Volume 2 of my Strange Planet CD. Or you can always check out our fabulous Conspiracy Show merchandise, mugs, T-shirts, hoodies, phone cases at our merch store, online merch store, theconspiracyshow.com, theconspiracyshow.com. I tell you what, why don't we open up the phone lines while we're waiting for Douglas? And we can get people lined up if they have questions for him. If there's something they'd like him to remote view, not to forget that Douglas is also a medical intuitive. And I'm not sure if he's prepared to do that tonight, but we'll see if we can press him into service. Or if you have questions relating to earth changes and so forth. Let me just throw it around the horn. Albert, I know you're a remote viewer in training, so to speak. You're on this mic over here. What do you want to know from Douglas Cottrell?
I guess this one's asked a lot. The lottery numbers. We're up to 20 million for 649.
I don't think he's going to do that because you know you can't, when it comes to this sort of thing, there is this sort of this, I don't know if it's kind of the karma, the cosmic court that doesn't allow you to take advantage of that sort of thing. I'm guessing that's what he's going to say. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. You want? What about in terms of earth changes? Or geopolitics?
Yeah, you see, I try not to try to get too wound up about that. Maybe something like, what's the good news? If you ask him if there's any good news, like when that announcement that Tom DeLonge made, like where's the free energy or something like that? Like what's blocking that? What's the obstacle?
Tom DeLonge, formerly of Blink 182, who has been working sort of behind the scenes trying to bring about UFO disclosure. We were expecting a big announcement, and nothing has happened.
Yeah, it's just sort of another letdown.
All right. I think
what's the good news? I guess that's
the good news. All right. We have finally been joined by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Hey, Douglas, how are you?
I'm fine. Just a little panicked here, pressing trying to get the phone buttons to work. I was listening to the show, and all of a sudden, poof, I disappeared.
I said something.
I'm fine tonight.
Wonderful.
This weather is really strange. But we're all hanging together again. The world seems to be falling apart, doesn't it?
Well, if you listen to the news, it does. I mean, when I look, here's, we can get into the weather now because, you know, we had some horrible hurricanes. You know, we had Irma and we had, was it Jake? We had a number of hurricanes.
Yeah.
But my gosh, Douglas, it's hurricane season. And it's actually been about a dozen years since we've had anything, I think, above a three or a four actually make landfall in the continental United States. So we're kind of overdue for these, don't you think?
Well, coincidentally, I wrote a book in 2011 and said that Florida and the Caribbean would be hit with tornadoes on both sides of Florida, one after the other. And it took from 2012 till now to happen. So a little quiet self-promotion there on my new Earth book. But some of the other things that are happening, the heat wave that's going on in Spain is absolutely horrendous. They're running out of water.
You know, I mean, the argument can be said, yeah, we're going through this cycle every so many years, and it's probably true. But I don't think it's not like a cycle where we're going to go through it and we're going to go back to normal. The ice caps are melting at a huge rate, which is destabilizing the Earth. And I've talked about in previous shows why that's happening on your show, that is to say, about the mantle, the molten center of the Earth heating up, causing this heat wave rating up, heating the oceans and then heating the continents. With all this nuclear testing going on in North Korea, I think that we're going to have more earthquakes because the crust of the Earth is destabilized. And the last thing it needs is some kick in the pants with some atomic or nuclear explosions going on, you know, deep inside the Earth. So there's all these elements going on. But, you know, thank God we live in Canada. But I got to say, we talked on your show a long time ago when you said, Douglas, you have this center in Hamilton on Hamilton Beach. What are you doing there? You said that Lake Ontario is going to rise, and now all the scientists are agreeing with that. And this recent spring or so, summer, it actually has happened where all the houses on the beach were suffering gigantic flooding in the basement. And my theory is that it was coming back through the storm sewers and pushing the water up through the basement, certainly cracks in the center. At Mini Mansion Spiritual Center, that was happening. But, you know, there's Lake Ontario. And I can remember when I was in high school, people were predicting, golly, you know, like the lakes are going to, they're going down at a tremendous rate. We're going to lose the lakes. The lakes are going to disappear. Well, that's the extreme. I'm making that up. But there were serious people saying that the lakes were evaporating. You know, what are we going to do? Water shortages. So from then till now, and by the way, I was in high school in 1966.
Not to date yourself.
Anyway, Vietnam War, Beatles, you know, motorcycles and stuff like that. But anyway.
I have seen pictures with you with long hair.
Yes, did you see that?
I did.
Cool? That's on my website. And by the way, you know, for the people out there listening, you participated very graciously in some documentary footage that we put together. And I want to thank you, you know, give you a shout out and say that you were very eloquent, very, very direct.
You got that up on the website very quickly. You just started this project, and you've got some serious footage up there on DouglasJamesCottrell.com already. Quick turnaround.
This is true. We have lots of viewers, and so far there's only been a couple of death threats. but no, it's been very well received, and that fellow Ed that came up from New York to do the filming for us was a professional, and Doug learned from him how to do some editing. He gave us a fantastic program to edit, and with Doug, my son Douglas, with a super talent, voila, there we are. But you know, do you remember how we first met? I mean, you know,
I was producing a talk show. The music is coming up. We'll come back, but very quickly, I was producing a talk show at another radio station. The host was John Heslink, and I can't remember exactly whether you called me or whether there was a publicist that you had at the time that was pitching a psychic, and I thought, oh boy, here we go again. And I was kind of hesitant at first, and I remember listening to that very first show, my little apartment on south of Bloor off of Sherbourne here in Toronto, and just you blew my mind. Anyway, we'll pick up on that when we come back. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, the man with X-ray eyes, right here on The Conspiracy Show.
Peering into the shadows, where the truth often hides, you're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Question everything. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is with us. We're talking earth changes, among other things. I wanted to, before we go to the phones, and people are lined up as we anticipated to talk to you, Douglas, First of all, are you good to take any sort of medical intuitive type questions?
Well, you're the host. Whatever you like, you direct. We would like to people, you know, it gets a little boring when people ask questions about their health. I mean, it's boring to the audience. It's intriguing when I do things, but that's up to you. Certainly, people can contact me, you know, on a professional basis later if they have some concerns. DouglasJamesCottrell.com. But it's up to you. It's wide open tonight. We haven't done this for a while.
No,
we usually have some fun doing this. And
we'll take a few medical questions, but I think, yeah, earth changes, I think, is and geopolitical, the geopolitical scene is sort of at the forefront. Speaking of earth changes, let me get back. I want to ask you about these fires, these wildfires. Well, I'll put those in parentheses. Some are suggesting that these aren't wildfires. I want to read an email here. This is from Walter, who is right in the heart of it. He says, as of right now, my hometown of Sonoma, California is on fire, as well as Napa, Santa Rosa, and surrounding cities. They all started around 9:30 p.m. That would be Pacific time. And then he says, here is a link to a fireball report in the sky the night all the fires started, which I believe was around the 13th. The official meteor site, which is amsmeteors.org, amsmeteors.org. Now, he says this is the official meteor site. I don't know that it is. But all these reports of fireballs in the sky coinciding with these fires in Napa Valley and Santa Rosa and Sonoma and so forth. What do you make of these wildfires? What's going on, and are they meteorites causing these?
Well, I've been so busy with a lot of other things. I predicted earlier on my social media that there was going to be disasters with water and fire at the same time. And that intellectually, when I listen to the things I say, because I'm in this quantum meditation state when we do these sessions and look forward, I question always, and I go like, how can that be? I remember once I was saying that there were going to be six sunspots in a straight line show up on the sun. And I thought, nah, that can't be. And then it happened a couple of months later when it's still out on NASA photos. There they are. So I haven't put my mind to the cause of this, but I do know that if I can say help's on the way, I got the feeling today that there's going to be moving, cold fronts are going to be moving in, the jet stream's going to drop further south, and there's going to be some salvation for these wildfires. But I never, ever looked at the cause. I just thought, well, here we go again. California is always, if you've ever been to California in the dry season and you're from Canada, and you see everything green just about all the year round, when you go to California and you see everything like this brown, dry brown, like, and you just touch the grass and it crumbles in your hands, that's when the seriousness of these fires that start on the sides of hills and go rearing up about them. Now, when I'm talking, chatting up here, I'm looking, and I don't see things coming out of the sky, but I do see red spots or dots in the sky. So I'm going to say it could be meteors that I'm looking at, but it could have been something else. I don't know. I don't see, like, usually I see a meteor coming in straight and striking the ground smack like that. But these are just red dots I'm looking at in the sky. So I'm going to have to say could have been lightning, or could have been fireballs or lightning balls, ball lightning.
All right. With so much going on in the world, Douglas, are you having fitful dreams lately because there's so much tumultuousness in the world?
Yeah, I do. People ask me, I think you've asked me before, how I do it. And it's true. My life is full of horrific visions and scenes. That's why we wrote the book first, The New Renaissance, 2012 and beyond. And then we rewrote it and expanded it, called it The New Earth. And many, many, many of the predictions are coming true, including what happened in Syria. And this is over a period of years. And so if anybody wants to know, have a look forward, and they want to truthfully have a look at what's going on and not be too depressed, because out of this, some good's going to happen. When I was in Spain in 2011, in 2011 it was an 18-page article in which I forecast all the things that are going on in Spain right now. And I took a little flack for it. I was staying with some people. They were lawyers, and they said, Douglas, or more like Douglas, you know, nada, nada. In other words, what you're saying is not going to happen. you know, riots in the street, people being beat up by the police, sort of Franco kind of mentality again, and divisions and separations. And Barcelona had a dream where the whole city was surrounded by two lakes, one on either side, and I had never been there. When I was there later, I found there were two rivers on either side, that when the Mediterranean is going to flood, and now the official announcement in Spain is that the Mediterranean will rise between 5 and 15 meters. Like I had said San Sebastian will be underwater, which is in the north, by the way. And it's all happening. And that's documented in the Antar magazine from 2011 or so. So recently, and I don't want to get into too many politics, but I had a dream where President Trump was standing on a podium. There was a great big window, arch window to his left behind him. And I heard him say, "I can't see." And then he repeated it again, "I can't see." And in a dream, you know, you have that intellectual observance, and then you have that passive intuition watching. And I thought, oh, it's because the window light is coming in and he can't read the teleprompter or his notes. And then when I woke up, I thought, oh, my God, something else is going to happen to him, maybe a stroke or something like that. But, you know, I got dreams about what's going on with the weather. My friends are in Florida, and I have dreams about people passing. I've been to three funerals this last week. So it's kind of like the psychic newspapers. And when you, this is what I do for people. I always look forward. I'm truly a prophet. In other words, I see things that are of all levels, from the mundanes, you know, fires and floods and politics, through to wars and what's going on in the spiritual contest that's taking on in the world. And there's so much hate now. People are killing their children. They're killing each other. And where is it all going? Well, it has to go to some positive conclusion. And as I had said on your show before, is that the military aren't going to be the transgressors. They're going to be the ones coming to our rescue. And look what happened in Houston and Miami and, you know, and Louisiana. The military is the first well-equipped, well-organized unit of people.
It's what they do best. It really is. It's what they do best.
That's right. Save lives rather than take them.
I want to ask you, you mentioned Syria, and I know it hasn't been in the news. It's going to be pushed off the front pages because of everything else that's going on. But what did you mentioned that you had talked about Syria in the New Renaissance book.
Out of Syria there was going to come this wave of terrorism, and it was going to, you know, a lot of bad stuff was going to come out of there. And that there wouldn't be any war, but it was going to be, in other words, it was going to be a world war, but it would be out of Syria would be the hotbed. And that's exactly what happened.
And that book was written when?
We started to write it in 2009 or 10 when we did the research and reading. So it's been it was published in, as a New Renaissance in 2010, I believe, and then came out as the New Earth. It was published in 2011, and then a New Earth came out in 2013.
Right. But
and we have lots of people who've gone through that thing trying to prove me wrong. I humorously say, when they ask me about the Amazing Randy and his $1 million, prove it to me, and I say, call him up and tell him, give me the money. You know, he'll never do it. And I remember I'm going to give Ross Peterson a compliment, because I put that to Ross Peterson a long time ago. I said, why don't you take this guy on and show him? And he said, oh, he probably doesn't have the money anyway, quote unquote. And so I learned not to be too distracted. But in the book, we were prompted, you know, I'm a very religious, spiritual man. I believe Mother Mary watches over me. I believe Jesus is guiding me. I believe that we all have an immortal soul, and that, you know, the higher levels of the consciousness, this is what quantum meditation is all about, is touching upon those higher levels. It's not like transcendental meditation and pranic meditation and other things that have different purposes. It's a purpose to address and get a hold of the Akashic field, the Akashic records, which lo and behold, scientists are coming out and saying, yes, the little particles have a memory, or they have some influence of thought. And oh my goodness, there is this place that, you know, scientists that are coming out and saying there is this place called the Akashic field, this place that we would call the middle heavens or the heavens above. It's referred to, Jesus referred to him in the Bible as, I go to prepare a place for you. you know, and many mansions, referring to other dimensions or heavens or a place for us in the heavens above. So there is this real place that we're now tapping into, and because of the internet and social media and devout people, people who are serious, open-minded people, they're beginning to see like, yeah, this guy Cottrell can see the future, not just once or twice, but seems to be doing it like 1,000 times. So the future is foreseeable if you develop your spiritual abilities, which you are inherent, and, you know, it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a statement which rules my life, which says, brethren, I will not have you ignorant of the spiritual gifts, and then it goes along and delineates what these spiritual gifts are, which means that we all have this ability. I know you've demonstrated some on in past experiments we've done on your show. You have a touch of that. Albert is developing himself very well. And as people begin to come and see these prophetic dreams, remember in the Revelation it said, or somewhere there, it was said, old men will come forth seeing visions, and young men will come forth having dreams and dreaming dreams. And that's where we are now, because we're in such a time.
Well, I want to talk about North Korea, and we're coming up on a break here. Let me ask you now, and we'll
I don't see any war. The more the rhetoric goes on, the more it empowers this man, this maniac, to develop his nuclear weapons. He's still, China will never ever take the umbrella protection off him, no matter what it says, what it seems to be publicly. I have never seen any aggression by North Korea, meaning where they're firing missiles. I don't think that he's extorting money from his own people. He is a true dictator, and those poor people in North Korea, they have no idea what's going on in the outside world. And I can't say that like there is no idea. What I mean to say is, you know, they don't have the advantages we do, but they're full of propaganda, and they cannot say anything, otherwise serious bad things happen to them.
Do you see someone within Kim Jong-un's circle taking him out?
That might happen, because he's such an egomaniac, such a young guy. The older fellows are there. I can see a group of four or five of them. Right now I'm looking at them. They're sitting around a table, and they're like putting little white pieces of, like, they look like round pieces of bone or checker on the table. And I think they're casting lots who's going to do this.
Oh,
that's
oh, really?
Something I've just seen right now. But I've never seen any aggression outside. What I think is going to happen to this country is that setting off these nuclear explosions is going to cause massive earthquakes. You know, right after he did that, there was this earthquake in Mexico, in Central America, I should say. So the earth is just so fragile, and so he might take out a lot of his own country.
This is interesting. So you've just had this vision just now where it appears
four or five, they got those funny hats on. They're sitting around a table. It's dark all around them, and they're like throwing white pieces of something. Looks like bone or a white piece of marble or a checker shape. Looks square shape actually. And I'm wondering if they're casting if they're casting lots to take them out,
to see which one of them will do the deed and take out Kim Jong-un. Interesting. All right, we'll keep a close eye on that. You heard it here first. Douglas James Cottrell is with us. We'll open up the calls and take those calls next when we return. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Providing the evidence and letting you draw your own conclusions. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Douglas, did you see the front page of the National Post the other day? The big blaring red headline. It said Code Red, and then underneath that we have these images of missiles being dropped from the air. They're highlighting the stories that are inside the edition. So you've got Code Red across the top, and then one of the stories inside is called Kaboom Times. Another one is Visions of Annihilation. Another one is Are We Ready? Again, these are all talking about North Korea and the possibility of nuclear war. I haven't seen well, I wasn't around during the Missiles of October crisis of 1962, but it's starting to feel that way.
Well, bad news sells, and people are making a ton of these stories. They're scaring the heck out of people. I did not see the newspaper. I just haven't had time to read. I get usually my news by listening to your show, Richard.
Just like we rehearse, Douglas.
So, no, I haven't heard, but it's the same as when the CN Tower went up, and I was around for the Cuban Missile things, and that was pretty scary. I was a kid. I was about 13 or 14, and it was like, oh, my God, we were, like, biting our fingernails. And, you know, when you look back, it was two guys facing off, a lot of rhetoric going back and forth, and Kennedy drew a line in the sand. You know, it was scary. And, I mean, I grew up with teachers telling us how to hide under our desks in case there was an atomic bomb. I had a Sunday school teacher telling me if an atomic explosion happened, he'd run out in the street so he could be annihilated and meet Jesus. And I'm going, like, oh, my God. But, yes, it's getting back there. This, you know, remember the Mayan calendar said that in 2012, December 2012, it would be a change of an age. And I said, you and I have had discussions on the air, that it didn't mean on that day that that was going to be, you know, like walking through a door.
It was like the beginning of a countdown clock.
Right. And here we are. And the world, you know, from 2012 to 2017, just 5 years later, oh, my God, how different has it been? And we are in chaos, which is something that Casey and Peterson and myself have been using that exact word that the world would be in a state of chaos. So it does sound like back in the missile crisis, it does sound like in the Vietnam War, there was a lot of stuff going on every night. It was people living in fear. And, of course, I think it was Jesus said, in the future, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And so we're a warlike people. You know, the world has a lot of bad in it. And it's the people who decide to do good, the forces of light, the people who not only believe and are devout in their faith, but actually practice it. Because there's a lot of hypocrites out there that say one thing and do something else. But the people who are devout, the people who are out there trying to help and change the world, when there's a catastrophe, everybody rushes down. Like they have in the Caribbean, to help people. It's just, this is the spirit that's within us. So the fear, the bombs coming down, there's a lot of people making a lot of money, big, big money with fake news, with scary news, with all kinds of really bad stuff out there. But this is where I try to say to people, as the Dalai Lama has said, you know, we have to curb our anger. We have to live in somebody else's shoes. But look yourself, look through your higher mind, through meditation or dreams, and you'll find where to move. You'll find, you know, if you're in a difficult spot, you'll see the future. You'll be given direction, because there are such things as angels out there. Jesus spoke to them, and I've spoken to them, or I have dreams of them. You, whenever you go into a situation, you will be warned or given some sort of heads up. And whether you listen or not, well, that depends on, that is directly what's going to happen to you.
All right, let me grab a quick call here before we go into the next break. Sean is in Washington. Sean, welcome to the Conspiracy Show. Is that Washington, D.C.? Hello, Sean. Are you there? I think we lost Sean.
I hope I'm not boring people here.
Are you there, Sean?
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, are you in Washington, D.C. or the state of Washington?
I'm in the state of Washington in Seattle.
Okay. Thanks for checking in. Your question, comment for Douglas Cottrell.
By the way, thank you for having me on the show. And thanks, Douglas Cottrell, for all the information that you provided, because it's helped me out over the years.
You're welcome.
But my question was mainly, was there going to be a lot of, like, different types of, changes, environmentally? Like, I heard there was a lot of flooding that was going to happen around this area, and I was wondering if I was going to have, like, a lot of purpose there or not.
Well, I've had people from your part of the world ask me, you know, if you're up high, Seattle and the West Coast, I've never been there, seems to rise up out of the ocean pretty quickly. So there will be flooding, because the oceans are rising. Scientists are proving it. I was on Richard's show 20 years ago or more or less, something in there, talking about this, and now people are proving it. So if you're, I see, okay, specifically for yourself, I see you look like you're sitting on an island. You're up high. It's like a big hill coming out of the water. So does that sound where you kind of live? You're up high? And is the water around you like that?
Yeah, a little bit. There's a lake to the west of us.
Okay, so you're going to be high and dry. It's the words I just heard right now. So you're going to be okay, but the water will be all around you. And that image I just had was where you are and then progressing a little forward into the future.
All right, Sean, okay. Thank you for checking in. And I look forward to speaking to you again from the great state of Washington. All right, we are heading into a break. When we come back, we'll get to Gail in Vancouver and Brandon, also in Washington, Shirley Ann in Toronto, and others. I also want to talk to you about decertifying the Iran nuclear deal, and maybe we can talk about the future of Hollywood, as things seem to be crashing down over there as well. Many are saying, thank God for that. Back with more of my conversation with Canada's Edgar Casey. Stay with us.
The owners of the system are asleep. Now we can play The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Take a look around. What do you really see? This is where you can tell all about it. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
All right. Time is flying here. Let's work in a call, and I've got questions as well. Let's say hi to Shirley Ann in Toronto. Go ahead, Shirley Ann.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Shirley.
How are you?
I'm wide awake in at this late time of night. What are you doing up? What can I do for you?
I was waiting to talk to you.
Okay.
When are you going to come back to Toronto, you know, for one of your sessions?
It's after February, we'll be making some big changes and we'll have more order. The things that have been holding us back in the last little while will probably be over in February. But we have a lot of callers waiting, so what can I do for you tonight, Shirley?
I'll get right to it. Okay, Doug, I have a problem. My husband has been diagnosed with Krill disease. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Also, he has a heart problem. He just started passing out. He's never been sick before.
Okay, I see a restriction in the top of his heart, like somebody's pinching the valves or the artery. It's not a carotid artery, but it looks pink and white, but it's got a pinch in it, like somebody's got a little piece of string or a rope pulling around it. I would think this is something like a the membrane that surrounds the heart is pinching on the artery, and that's pulling, it's choking the artery. So it's a little bit of surgery. He could do some stretching exercise. I see him with his hands over his head, pulling himself up, trying to get the sheath underneath. It's like if he went and had somebody give him some fascia massage. The fascia is between the skin and the muscle. That might relieve it without surgery. But otherwise, it looks like he's going to have a little bit of surgery.
Shirley Ann, thank you, and our prayers go out to you and your husband. Prayers go out to you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Brandon is in Washington. Is that Washington State or Washington, D.C., Brandon?
Washington State.
All right, and your question?
I had a question about my karma and how to fix it. Do I have some kind of, horrible karma that's causing me problems in my life?
Everybody does. Everybody does. Here's how you tell. If you have the same situation coming up over and over again with different people, and you've tried everything but one thing, and that one thing you don't want to do because you're just afraid, scared, it'll be difficult, whatever, that's exactly how you get rid of that karma. It's the same event coming up over and over again with different people. It'll be almost identical. And then, somebody will come and you'll be walking down the street and somebody will come out and scream at you because your dog's walked on their lawn. And then somebody else will come up and scream at you because you're just walking past your house. I'm being simplistic, but I'm trying to be fast. So the way around that is to go and tell the person off or go get a policeman and go back or get another person and go and try to make peace with them or something. So but it's the one thing that you do not want to do, that you'll avoid. If you don't want to take somebody to court and people keep stealing from you over and over and over again, then you have to, you know, bite your tongue and take the next step and take people to court, no matter how difficult it is.
Brandon, what's the one thing?
Difficult karma.
Brandon, what's the one thing you're afraid to do that may be the cause of this, or the one thing that's preventing it from stopping?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Well, it's again. If tell me what the specific is, and I'll tell you what you can do.
I'm not really sure. I've had quite a bit of difficulty with some confusions and things that I think I've imagined have happened in my life that may not have been going on, and I'm just lost.
Then the thing is, you become Sherlock Holmes and you prove out your imagination. You know, you think people are talking about you. You go up and you say, "Do I have a problem? Do you have a problem with me? Are you talking about me?" That'll be difficult to do, but this has become. That's what the words come to mind. Be like Sherlock Holmes. Prove it out. Even though it'll be difficult. And you're just a sensitive guy. But this happens to a lot of people where they think things are going on behind their back or around them. The way to handle it is you confront. That's your karma, confront. You go up and you say, okay, let's prove this out. So, you know, did I offend you somehow? Or can you help me? You know, did I get you angry or did I do something? You know, please let me know and I'll correct. Okay.
All right.
Put it out and your karma will vanish.
Brandon, good luck with that. All the best. All right. Let us know
Thank
how
you.
It goes. Thank you. I want to ask you about, obviously, a couple of things. Obviously, the huge news, this horrible massacre in Las Vegas. It's wild speculation. Reports of multiple shooters. We had an eyewitness who survived the shooting only to die. This was a 28-year-old mother of a 3-year-old, I think. Who died of a seizure just after surviving this horrific thing. She wrote everything down. She swears there were multiple shooters chasing people through casinos and so forth. What do you see, Douglas? More than one shooter?
When I was putting my mind towards that, because on CNN and other places they were saying the police can't find a motive, I saw this man sitting up there laughing. And I saw him, he's very calculated, and what he wanted to do was to accomplish just that, that it was a big game. He wanted to prove that he had covered all the bases so that nobody would know why he would have done this. I can see people crouched down carrying ammo boxes, so he did have some help, but I don't think there was a second shooter.
All right. Let me ask you about the other big story, and that is a monster, really.
Yeah.
Harry Weinstein in Hollywood. People are saying, conservative commentators predicting that this is going to be historic in terms of, you know, finally the Justice Department in the United States, the FBI, CIA are really going to start digging around in Hollywood. This land of hypocrisy where all of these actors, the Ben Afflecks of the world and Jane Fondas, who are, you know, lecturing other people now, they're getting their comeuppance because they were silent in the face of this horrible, horrible activity that was going on there, the abuse and rape of women. What's going to happen in Hollywood?
Well, first of all, this is how it always is. A wise man once said there are three things that can never be hidden. And that is the sun, the moon, and the truth. If you look in life, and you'll see it even now, if you go back not too long ago, you'll see there were a lot of people who were defrauding people out of their money, bogus investors.
Bernie Madoff, yes.
Yeah, they got caught. So this is the same thing. Now, the reality is, it's when we get that feeling of outrage about how this man could do it, we have to say, let's put ourselves in the position of somebody in show business who had to deal with this man. Because at the highest levels, and some of the richest people in the world are monsters. And they can get away with everything because they use lawyers to silence people. They use lawyers like weapons. And those lawyers, you know, somebody referred to one of them a little while ago as the Darth Vader of lawyers, you know, not willing now to help this man, to represent this maniac. But the point is that, this is the comeuppance here. The people who have been silent suffer. This is why it's always better, no matter what the risk. I've been asked, why do you do the things you do? I tend to speak up. And I know you've had other guests on your show who have said things like they should have, they could have, you know, but they, for their own reasons, they didn't, but they felt bad about something. And I'm not going to be specific here. But the point being is that when you see something, go and do something about it, because this is your karma. Do not say, well, he didn't do anything bad to me, so I can't help you. Or, I don't want to get involved. Those are the statements, or those are the attitudes that people in Hollywood were using to cover up, but also greed, and people who would be in showbiz. This man had the ability to cut people off at the knees and crucify them and just sever their career. And when you're in the show business world, it's like no other world. It's different than business, but the glamour and all those things that go along, there's always that casting couch and whatever. It's always been out there. But when something is horrible and enough people see it, you know, I can't remember the man who said it, but there's a famous quote that says, only when things get so bad, that's when good men speak up that it'll end. And this is exactly what's happening. This is going to go on. It'll go on for a while, and you're going to find, you know, some people you thought were upstanding citizens were all of a sudden, whoa, they had their hand in the cookie jar too.
Right, right. Oh, this is going to go. This goes much deeper.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The casting couch and the intimidation.
No, I'm talking about pedophilia in Hollywood. That's what I'm talking about, and that's the tough nut to crack. But that's coming next. We hope that they're going to uncover that. Because this place is just. It's just evil, I believe.
Well, I think you're right. You go to Hollywood and you'll see people who are starving on the streets and people who have gone down there, you know, trying to be starlets and end up being sex slaves. It's the den of inequity is there because of the glamour and the fortunes that can be made.
All right.
Overnight, people go from almost nobody to a superstar because of Hollywood.
Let me grab a quick call here. Todd is in New Brunswick. Todd, welcome to The Conspiracy Show.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder. I was going to ask you about the shooting in Vegas, but to be clear, he's saying one shooter?
I only saw one. I saw him up there laughing and playing a game, but I saw people crouching around carrying ammo boxes. So,
In other words, he had help, but he was the only one pulling the trigger.
Makes you wonder. Help, though, sometimes might be the guy that stands next to the sheriff from the FBI, who's John Podesta's father-in-law. Is his father-in-law. Interesting one. Another one on Kim Jong-jung. I have always thought of a theory as, you know, he's being put up to this by, like, China or somebody else or whatever, and maybe the end of game of this is to somehow present or to show people that maybe Trump is crazy. So let's say Kim Jong-jung fires a missile. They, in turn, go to the president. They say something's on its way. They don't know the destiny of it. They only got 10 minutes. He says, get me the football. They give him the football. He puts the codes in, and then they don't take the order. Kim Jong-jung then blows a missile up, says it was a dud. And now, in the meantime, Trump is exposed as being the guy that was going to create Third World War. Do you see anything like that?
Well, that's very interesting and very creative thinking, but I tend to observe things and try to keep my emotions out of it. I'm a Canadian. So when I talk about American politics, I always remind my friends that I'm a Canadian. You know, Mr. Trudeau's our guy sometimes. But anyway, the point being is that, I thought you'd like that, Richard. There are serious, your country has serious warriors and serious military people who are very, very highly trained. If anything went off the coast there, that's why all those warships are over there, and you can bet your bottom dollar that Japan is reinforced. If anything came anywhere close that they thought was somewhat dangerous, it'd be blown out of the sky.
Douglas, we got to run. Todd, thanks for the call. And again, DouglasJamesCottrell.com, the website. Congrats on the new documentary, and people can get a sneak peek there on the website. Thank you, Douglas, as always, my friend.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure to be on your show. God bless you.
All right. Ian, thank you. Albert and Ryan, thank you all. Back next week, Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Paradigm, the new book, for the full 2 hours. In the meantime, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak in the light. What I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite. I'm coming home. Good night.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.